So if you missed last week, you might be wondering what's going on. This is week two of a seven-week series. Last week was an introductory look at what we'll be doing, and this is the start of going deep into each spiritual practice. We will be looking at six ways that Christians, disciples of Christ, or anyone exploring what being a Christian is all about, can grow in or into their faith, their connection with God, and with each other. Here they are. I think they're on there. On the next slide. Hey, alrighty. And so we're looking at prayer. Actually, that's not entirely true. We're looking at daily prayer. Now, let me tell you, there are so many scriptures about prayer that choosing one was actually a little difficult. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Luke 18:1 says, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. And then the story follows. 1 Timothy 2:8, since prayer is at the bottom of all this, what I want mostly is for men to pray, not shaking angry fists at enemies, but raising holy hands to God. Before I get too far into this, I think it's worth a moment to take a look at what prayer is and what prayer is not. It is not a practice reserved for clergy and the religiously devout. It is not a practice in eloquent speech and elaborate language. It is not for show. It is for developing and deepening our relationship with God. It is for choosing to put God at the center of our lives. It is about communication, talking to and listening to God. When Jesus prayed, he often referred to God as Abba, which would be our modern-day English equivalent of Daddy. This is not to demonstrate the maleness of God. I'll just put that out there. But rather the intimacy with which Jesus modeled in his prayer life. Maybe this is not a place that you are comfortable starting with, praying to God with intimacy like Abba. But it is something to work towards. After all, if you haven't been praying in the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or ever, it is uncomfortable to start there. If you become reacquainted with a high school friend, you might not jump right back into the same level of familiarity. But over time, with an investment in your relationship with them, you might discover a depth of relationship you never knew before. All that said, I think this is probably the easiest letter in the acronym, or at least the one that most Christians around the world would not have issue with. Not that praying is always easy, or talking about it comes without us bringing our own baggage along with it. So what I will ask you to do is put down any negative associations you might have around prayer. This is not about regurgitating prayers that you memorized in your childhood, unless, of course, those work for you, and then, of course. This is not about show. In fact, in our reading today, we heard that it wasn't about show. The more familiar translation from Matthew 6 reads, and whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Okay. So how do we pray? Some folks here will have the spiritual gift of prayer, and it will come so naturally to them. They can pray and feel comfortable, at ease. But don't worry, most folks actually have to work at this a little bit, to invest some time to get past the bit of an awkward feeling and into a place of ease. Know, as I mentioned with the children, that you can pray sitting, or standing, or kneeling, or running, or walking. You can pray out loud, in silence, in a group. You can hold your hands together, raise them up, touch the ground, hold prayer beads. When I was trying to develop a prayer life, I was living in a tiny studio apartment in North Vancouver and working at a restaurant at Park Royal. I couldn't afford a car or even the bus on some days, so I walked to work. I would pray and meditate the whole way to work and the whole way home, often out loud. I'm sure that was quite a sight, 20-year-old Ingrid. It didn't matter to me. Those conversations that I had with God became such a part of my routine that today, years later, if I'm walking somewhere on my own, which isn't happening a lot these days, I tend to slip right back into that meditative prayer, each step. The one thing that I will offer here about prayer is that it's important to be intentional. And so I would ask that for the summer, you make a commitment to daily prayer. Maybe you want to place a Bible on the floor beside your bed so that when your feet touch it first thing in the morning and last thing at night, you are reminded to pray. I know that for some of us, we think that there has to be a certain way that we pray. The Lord's Prayer is great if you're feeling anxious, and it's a great starting point for further praying. Maybe you could spend some time this week rewriting the Lord's Prayer into your own words. There you go, a little bit of homework. In Matthew 6:7, we hear, "When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again." This is not to mean that you shouldn't pray long prayers, but rather that you bring an authenticity to your praying. For those of you who might feel uncomfortable that you're out of the habit, a simple outline would be gratitude or thank you, admissions, things you want to work on where you aren't living up to where you want to be, sharing, and praise, that is affirmation, love, delight. So we could say, "Hi God, thank you for the sunshine on my face today. Please help me to serve others today. I'm struggling to stay out of my own head. I know that in your amazing love, I can be free from this burden. Amen." It doesn't have to be fancy, folks. I just want to add in here a word about making requests. A little further along in Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Ask it will, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened up to you." So we have this example of Jesus inviting us to ask for what is on our hearts. The caution is, though, not to turn it into a child's list of wishes to Santa or like a wedding registry. Prayer isn't meant as a magic answer to our selfish human wants. But it does go back to that intimacy piece. God wants all of us. And that includes our deepest wishes and desires. So we can bring those too. As we practice prayer more, we might find that we are slipping into moments of silence, not quite ready to say amen, where we are open and receptive to hear what God might have us know. Some might call that contemplative prayer. There is intentional meditation, centering prayer. There's so many different kinds. There is no glass ceiling in prayer, just more and more depth in your relationship with God. But all it takes is a start. We do not need to be self-conscious in our prayers. The most important thing we can do is to do it. So, right now, I want you to look at the person on your left and the person on your right, or maybe in front or behind you if you're sitting in a row by yourself. And I want you to think, who do you know less? Just take a moment and notice, who is the person you know less around you? If you're sitting next to your mom, it's not your mom. So, I want you to partner up with the person you know less. Introduce yourself if you don't already know them. And I'm going to give you 5 minutes to talk with them, to get to know them. I know. I'm breaking the fourth wall. It's woo! We're getting crazy in church this morning. We're talking to each other. So talk to them, get to know them, maybe just a few minutes of casual conversation, and then find out something that they would like you to pray for them for. I know, Christians praying. Crazy. So, 5 minutes. Go! I don't want to interrupt. Are we okay? I know that this is not typical United Church practice, but I want to tell you, how many people do you think are here this morning? 100? 120-ish, about? That's a whole lot of people opening themselves up to real relationship with God. And that is a whole lot of people opening themselves up to real relationship with each other. Now, I just want you to know how excited I feel that everybody just prayed. So just putting that out there. So listen, you don't have to do that with someone every day, unless you want to. If you live with someone, a spouse, children, a roommate, maybe that is something you can do together to learn and to grow in faith. Or just do it yourself. Invite friends over to pray. Walk and pray. Sing your prayers. Whatever feels right for you. Or doesn't. Starting a new habit can be uncomfortable at first. Don't give up. Stick with it. And know that it can be as simple as hello when you wake up in the morning and good night when you're going to bed. If that's where you need to start, start there. Maybe you would like to go to the library or the bookstore. Get a book of prayers. Awesome. United Church minister Bruce Sangwin wrote a really cool book entitled If Darwin Prayed. I like that one. So, right here, right now, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to daily prayer. Do your best to pray every day, especially for someone else, for the next 6 weeks. If you struggle, come and talk to me about it. If you love it, come and tell me. If you hate it, come and tell me. If you discover new things, come and tell me. I guarantee, I actually can have this guarantee. I guarantee that if you do it every day, you will be uplifted. Amen.